What if you could turn all of your problems into opportunities? You may have heard this idea before, but how do you actually do it? There really is a technique, one that Bertolt Hoenster thinks can be transformative, as he describes in his new book, Flip Thinking, The Life-Changing Art of Turning Problems into Opportunities. Bertolt is a Dutch writer and the author of 13 books on a philosophy known by the term Omdenken, which translates as flip thinking. Bertolt joins us now to share five of his big ideas.
My name is Bertolt Hoenster. I'm the Dutch author of the book Flip Thinking, The Life-Changing Art of Turning Problems into Opportunities. I have been lecturing, training, and writing about the concept of flip thinking for nearly 30 years. Flip thinking, or as it is called in my native language, Dutch, I'm from the Netherlands, Omdenken. As the founder of Omdenken, my motto in life is, it's not about the question whether the glass is half full or half empty. The fundamental question is, where is the tap? In this audio, I will share with you five key insights of my book, and hopefully you enjoy them and hopefully they inspire you. So let's start right away with the first insight. Don't say yes, but yes and to life. Now, let me explain this insight. What is our natural or instinctual reaction when we are faced with problems? We want to get rid of them. We don't like the uncomfortable feelings that go along with problems like discomfort, pain, and grief. So we tend to say yes, but to problems. We want to solve, avoid, or ideally prevent them. Fortunately, this strategy often works. You can fix a bicycle tire, set a broken leg, or take your car to the garage when the spark plugs need to be replaced. But some problems can't be solved. Unfortunately, life does not always bend to our will. We can't solve an incurable disease, the loss of a beloved one, or the course of a hurricane. Reality is what it is, and many problems just are what they are. But still, we feel this strong urge to say yes but to reality itself. We want to fight reality. We want to get rid of our problems. The result? As we are dealing with uninfluenceable problems, these problems remain and our frustration only grows. Now, when you want to learn to flip think, the first thing you have to do is go from yes but to yes. Accept reality as it is. When it rains, it rains. Nothing you can do about that. Just say yes to reality, literally. By saying yes to unalterable problems, at that same moment, we convert these problems into facts. And this exactly is the first step of flip thinking. This first step you might also consider as a Zen Buddhistic, philosophical, or Stoic basic attitude of flip thinking. Accept reality as it is. So, disclaimer, flip thinking is not similar to optimism or positive thinking. The cornerstone of flip thinking is acceptance of the things we cannot change. The nice thing about this first step is that as soon as you are able to make this mental shift, you are immediately in harmony with the world around you. You are no longer fighting unchangeable reality as Don Quixote is fighting windmills. If flip thinking would be nothing more than this first step, it would be equal to resignation or surrender. After this first step comes a second and last one, say yes and to reality as it is. Accept reality as it is and do something with it. Try to create a new possibility. Like the saying goes, it's not the cards you dealt, but how you play the hand. So the first step of flip thinking, go from yes but to yes, and then the second one, go from yes to yes and, or go from problem to facts, and then from facts to opportunity. You could also go from how life should be to how life is, and then from how life is to what life could be. The world of what should be differs like day and night from what the world could be. By the way, this is exactly what children tend to do. What do grown-ups do when it rains? They try to avoid it, stay indoors, carry an umbrella, and what do children do? They dance in the rain. Second insight. The default of our brain is to solve, not to flip think. Though flip thinking and problem solving may sound related, they are not. In fact, they are in a way the opposite of one another. This is an important, crucial insight. And what makes this insight so important? Because it is man's default to solve problems. we tend to slide into what I call the solution reflex. What is our first reaction when we are faced with problems? As I've said before, get rid of them, solve them, which is understandable. We don't like problems. But although this solution reflex is understandable, it's often a missed opportunity. Even when you can solve a problem, let me give a simple example to illustrate this. When a man gets older and loses his hair, he might consider this as a problem that should be solved. And by wearing a toupee or undergoing a hair transplant, he could very well fix this problem. And when done right, everything is back as it should be. Nothing wrong with that. But this solution could also be a missed opportunity. How could one flip think hair loss? How could one make an opportunity out of this problem? By embracing being completely bald as one new appearance, one's new hip look. Is this weird? Of course not. Look at Andre Agassi or the fictional character Walter White in Breaking Bad, performed by an awesome bald Bryan Cranston, or Dwayne Johnson, better known as The Rock. All of them are bald like a billiard ball. But it doesn't make them less attractive. Being bald is not their setback, it's their desired image. They created a new opportunity out of an existing problem. They didn't solve hair loss, they flipped it. And let's be reasonable, how awesome would The Rock be with a neatly raked toupee? So solving is good, flip thinking is often better. The default of our brain is to solve, to fight problems. So be aware that flip thinking is our blind spot. We tend to forget to bend along with problems. Third insight. Trying to solve unchangeable problems by definition leads to making problems worse. And this is what I call stuck thinking, which is the exact opposite of flip thinking. With flip thinking, one goes from problem to possibility. With stuck thinking, one goes from problem to disaster. Imagine your car is stuck in the mud. You try to drive it out, but the more you spin the wheels, the deeper down your car sinks. Stuck thinking examples come in all shapes and sizes. Social geographers know it as the waterbed effect. When you're improving living condition in a certain neighborhood without improving the adjacent areas, the problems will probably be shifted to those surrounding areas, rather like what happens when you push down on a waterbed. People who diet know stuck thinking as the yo-yo effect, economists as the downward spiral, and biologists know it as the pork cycle. To keep things closer to home, you can strictly forbid your child to smoke, but doing so can effectively make smoking more attractive to a child. After all, what's more exciting for a child than doing things he or she is not allowed to do? Your ban on smoking makes it more attractive. Your solution increases the problem. So what can we learn from this insight? When solutions don't work or even make the problem worse, stop solving. Fourth insight. A problem exists of two things. This sounds like a very abstract insight and difficult to apply to real life, but the opposite is true, and let me explain. We experience problems as one single thing, one variable. Just the cold, hard facts, reality as it is. When it rains, the rain seems the problem. When we have a flat tire, the flat tire is obviously the problem. And when we lose hair, as we've seen before, losing hair seems the problem. So we tend to experience problems as one variable, one thing, that is, reality as it is, facts as they are. But when we take a closer look, to my definition, every problem always exists of not one, but of two components, namely, reality as it is, and our diametrically opposed expectations. To illustrate this, when you go camping with your spouse and two children and it's raining cats and dogs for days, then rain is a real problem for you and your family, of course. But when you are a farmer in exactly the same area and it has been bone dry for weeks and finally it rains for a few days, then rain is not a problem, it's a blessing in disguise, an opportunity. So every problem is always a contradiction between facts and expectations, between what is and what should be. Now maybe you're thinking, how can I apply this insight? Well, simple. When you experience a problem, you can try to change reality, but you could also look at your expectations. And why is this insight so important? Because whenever we are confronted by a problem, we tend to blame reality. We feel that problems are the things that happen to us, as if we are unblemished and innocent and the world around us is constantly dumping all sorts of problems in our lap. But when we take a closer look, it's our expectations that cause us to experience effect as a problem. The good news is that although we often can change facts, we can change our expectations. So realizing all this, our influence on problems doubles. We can try to change reality, we can also try to change our expectations. So let's move on to the fifth and last insight. This is, I call, the miracle question, the magical question of flip thinking. Here it comes. What if the problem would be the intention? And let me repeat this phrase. What if the problem could be the intention? What if the problem would be there with an aim, a purpose? Well, for our logical brain, this question sounds absurd. A problem being the intention, how can that be? Problems are, by definition, things we do not want. How can a problem be something we desire, something we want, something that serves our goals? This seems absurd and illogical. But by asking ourselves this counterintuitive question, we challenge our brain to find new paths, new ways of thinking, to seek for the unknown, hidden opportunities. Let me illustrate this with some examples. If your relationship is in a deep crisis, this is, of course, a real painful problem. But what if, in this situation, you would ask yourself, what if our problems are the intention? What if they are there on purpose? By asking yourself this question, instead of trying to neglect or solve your problems, the two of you might start to learn from the situation. Your problems might be a stepping stone to refresh, renew, or even transform your relationship. And if you succeed, your relationship might become better than it ever was, not in spite of, but thanks to your problems. So from now on, whenever you are confronted with a problem, small or big, personal or social, in the field of upbringing or business, always hold still, take a deep breath and ask yourself, what if this problem is the intention? What could I learn from it? What could it bring to me? What could be the hidden opportunity? Problems are nothing more and nothing less than frustration that hasn't found its shape yet. A problem is equal to a desire, a wish, an expectation that is trying to create new reality. So when you want to learn how to flip think, embrace reality as it is, see problems as opportunities in disguise, and don't focus on what should be, but on what could be. You were listening to Bertolt Gunster from the Netherlands, the country that experiences water, the sea, rivers and canals, not as an enemy, but as an ally. After all, more than 26% of our country lies below sea level. The lowest area in our country even lies 6.76 meters below sea level. This equals 266 inches. Fighting the sea would be a losing game, so the Dutch were forced to cooperate and live with the water. I have the assumption with omdenken or flip thinking, I am standing on the shoulders of our Dutch pragmatic culture. If you can't fight it, embrace it and work with it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bertolt. That was five big ideas from Flip Thinking, the life-changing art of turning problems into opportunities by Bertolt Gunster. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.